The first coach on the teleconference is Ohio State's Ryan Day. Coach Day guided the Buckeyes to their eighth consecutive East Division title as they make their fifth appearance in the Big Ten football championship game. Ohio State finished the season 9-0 in conference play and 12-0 overall. A victory on Saturday would give the Buckeyes their 38th Big Ten championship. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys, thank you.
Coach, can you just give us some quick opening comments, and then we'll open the questions up for media?
Yeah, sure. Getting back to work here today. Got our meeting coming up here at 2:30. Then we have practice and start the business of getting ready for the Badgers again, really good team. They played us really hard in the first game, and they're very, very well coached, and they've really had a great year. So looking forward to having a great week of practice and then getting to Indianapolis and preparing the best we can to go win the game.
Great. Thank you, Coach. Now let's take some questions from the media.
And your first question comes from Dan Hope of the 11 Warriors.
Hey, Ryan, what are the unique challenges that you have when you're preparing for a rematch? When you've played a team before, are there different things you have to look for that maybe you did the first time around?
Well, yeah, I think so. It's kind of like when you're in the NFL and you play a team twice within the division, there's obviously the stuff that you put on film from the season, but also, in the game that you played, there are adjustments that are made, and certainly you look at that film, but I think, both teams are significantly different than when we played on October 26th. But there'll also be a lot of things schematically that we'll look at and tweak, but certainly, the matchups are one of the things you always look at coming off of a game like that.
Does it help that you've already had the opportunity to watch film on them earlier this year and you don't have to necessarily watch all those games over again?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's the same for both sides. So I don't, there's certainly not an advantage. And we're still going to spend the same amount of time watching film. So I think it's just critical that we're efficient with our time, if that makes sense.
Thanks, Ryan.
Your next question comes line of Bill Rabinowitz of the Columbus Dispatch, I'm sorry. Bill, your line is open.
Hello?
Hey, Bill, you there?
Yeah, Ryan, yeah, can you hear me?
I can now, yep.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. I got this question a lot, and I wasn't going to ask this before the Michigan game because, it just wouldn't have been appropriate. But you knew, regardless of what happened in that game, you were going to be playing next Saturday. You were going to potentially be in the playoffs. How much different is it having beaten them, beaten your arch rival, and being able to approach the postseason with that accomplishment as opposed to, God, if you had lost, it would have been a different feel?
It's something that I never really considered because just all the focus was playing that game, and now the focus goes to Wisconsin, and that's what we've been all season. It certainly is a relief going, getting that game behind us and winning that game, but now it's all week to week, and certainly didn't look past this past week. I mean, if anything, it helped our team, I think, really focus on that game. And now the focus is winning the Big Ten championship.
And in terms of Wisconsin, I mean, Dan asked this before. Is there a challenge in making sure your guys don't overlook them? I mean, I know you have respect for them, but you have beaten them before. How much is that a battle for you?
I just think, again, it's the same for both teams. I mean, both teams have played in the game. Both teams are going to have the same, film from the whole season, from the games we played each other. And so, you're familiar with each other because you played. And, just do the best you can to put a good game plan together, and then you know, try to anticipate what you're going to see on both sides of the ball and all three phases. And then at the end of the day, it comes down to players and making sure they have a good, clean plan that they can go put on the field.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
Is there another call? Is there a – can't hear anything.
Kyle Rowland, are you on the phone?
I am. Sorry, I never heard my name.
Go ahead.
Okay. Ryan, all 3 years you've been at Ohio State, they've beaten Michigan and played in the Big Ten Championship game. I was just curious how difficult it is to come down from the high of beating that team the entire year is geared around – and then channeling the energy to an opponent the very next week.
Yeah, I think, you know, we had an emotional game against Penn State. That was a big game for us. We knew what that was going to take for us to win the game. You know, that was a top 10 opponent who had battled us hard all 3 years. And then to win that game at home was huge. And then turn around and play this game, you know, was a challenge because, you know, coming off an emotional win, you play back-to-back games like that, it's difficult. And so now you're into the third week of that. So, yeah, to say it's not a challenge would be not accurate. I think it's something we talk about, is making sure that the guys understand that their rest is important, their preparation is critical. I think the good thing is, you know, we had those couple bye weeks during the season. I think, you know, we got our starters out of some games early in the season, so I think our team is still fresh. But like you said, you know, we got to be able to rebound and come back off of that emotional win and do a good job. But I think the same is said for Wisconsin. You know, they had an emotional big game, you know, against Minnesota yesterday as well. So I think it's pretty even that way, and the best team who handles it, you know, will win.
Appreciate it.
Your next question comes from the line of Austin Ward of the Letterman Row.
Hey, Ryan, did you get a sense yesterday that your defense was kind of missing Sean Wade out there and all the, you know, versatility he brings back there?
I think that certainly, you know, his absence was felt. But I thought, especially late in the game, you know, Amir Reap stepped up and made a huge interception, got a huge fourth down and three breakup. And so, you know, while the chemistry was a little bit different at times, I thought he stepped up and played really, really well.
Did you – I'm not trying to pry any information out of here, but he went through warm-ups and it looked like he might have been close. Did you have a sense before the game that he might be able to go, or how close was that decision?
It was close. Yeah, it was close, and we just determined that he just wasn't quite ready. We wanted to be smart with that, and I think we made the right decision. And so, you know, we'll just keep letting him heal up, and he'll should be ready to roll for this week.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Halligan of 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, Coach. just curious. I mean, I know they asked you a little bit about this earlier, about the chance to get back up to play the same team again, but, you know, it's somewhat human nature. You won the first game by 31 points, and yet – it was a 10-7 game in the third quarter. I guess there's a couple different ways you can look at it and approach it. I assume your team, or you'll impress upon your team, just how difficult the first game was as compared to what the final result ended up being. Is that how you'll probably try to approach the inspiration for this game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, we're going to be lacking any inspiration to go, you know, play for the Big Ten championship with an opportunity to go to the college football playoff. But that being said, yeah, we absolutely respect these guys. They're one of the best coach teams in America, the toughest teams in America. They run the football. They're very, very well coached on both sides of the ball. And we were in a dogfight in that game. And I thought we did a good job at that moment, but we're both different teams at this point. You know, teams change and they take on different personalities as the season goes on. And they're playing really, really good football. And so, you know, we'll absolutely, you know, understand that going into the game, and nothing but the utmost respect for this team. So we got to do a great job preparing. We got to do everything we've done so far to this point in this game to take care of the football, to tackle well, to be physical, to play with energy. And if we do those things, then we'll be fine. But like you said, I mean,
this is not one of those things where, you know, it's going to take any extra motivation to go win a championship. And that's the reason why, you know, we, you know, everyone's here at Ohio State, you know, recruits, coaches, everybody involved is to win championships. And so we're here. And so we'll have a great week of practice.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just ask, what's it meant to get guys like Austin Mack and Baron Browning? And I know Cooper just played the one game, but I don't know, some guys that kind of helped the bottom line here at the end of the season that are kind of been missing for a good portion of the midseason, I guess.
Yeah, it was huge. So those guys played big. You know, Coop had a sack. He played over 50 plays in the game, had a major impact on the game, played really well. Austin Mack, you know, some big-time catches, you know, the touchdown run at the end. And he played great in the game. He graded out really, really high. And his approach was off the charts. It was great to have his leadership back. You know, he was kind of playing at this level before he hurt it, you know, got himself hurt again midseason. And, you know, Austin was having a great preseason, you know, got injured and then started to get himself back. Then he got re-injured. Now he's back again. And so he means a lot to our team. And to have those, you know, guys, veteran guys out there for us is huge.
Thank you.
Your next question comes to line of Nathan Baird of Cleveland.com.
All right, I know you were asked a lot of questions going into the Penn State game about finishing the regular season with these two back-to-back games going into whatever comes out of it. Is there any way that it can be a positive at this point, sort of a momentum that starts to build as you win week to week?
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. I think we're getting into the rhythm of playing four-quarter games against really good opponents and that kind of quote-unquote March Madness approach. And, you know, when you're at this point of the season, you know, you're playing for championships, every game is going to be a four-quarter dogfight. And so I think we are getting a little bit of a rhythm that way now.
And you mentioned a couple times that you think both you and Wisconsin are very different from the first time you played. What jumps out at you about ways they might challenge you this time that they weren't able to the first time?
You know, I don't quite know that. You know, I think that's, you know, that's how it works when you game plan and you work against an opponent, but they're going to have different things they do. They're going to have different mix-ups. They, you know, when you work through a season, you find out what works, what doesn't, and you kind of find, you know, the strengths of and weaknesses of your, you know, all three phases, and then it morphs as the season goes on, and you make adjustments and you make corrections and you enhance in certain areas, and so that's typically why most teams are different at the end of the year than they are at the beginning, certainly, but also at mid-year.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Joey Kaufman of the Columbus Dispatch.
Hey, Ryan. Obviously, Chase Young's stat line was kind of quiet yesterday in terms of if you just pick up a box score and look at it. But having watched the film and everything, what did you think of his game and the way Michigan committed to kind of doubling him and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. You know, they tripped him some and they slid to him and you know, he did get some pressure on the quarterback late in the game, you know, one real big one. And, you know, I thought some other guys showed up too, you know, Devon and Coop and a couple of those guys on the other side showed up. And I want to keep doing that as well, is that, you know, if they're going to chip him or slide to him, those other guys got to show up in that spot. But I thought our pass defense overall in the second half was excellent. And that's a team effort, because anytime you're overcompensating for one guy, there's another area that's a little, you know, short, whether it's, you know, three guys out in a route, whether it's, you know, one-on-one on the opposite side, whatever that is. And so that, things like that are going to happen when someone overcommits to Chase.
How do you guys look at it as a coaching staff when teams will do that with Chase, where they put two or three guys on? Is that frustrating, or do you guys relish it because it'll create those openings elsewhere?
No, I think it's understood. You know, I mean, it's not the first time that something like that's happened. Anytime you have a great pass rusher, things like that come up, and you just do the best you can to work through it. You know, and we have, and we will. But again, it's you know, it's just like anybody else playing in the game. You know, you have to be unselfish, and you know, it's like a receiver who gets double covered on third down, like they were doing a little bit to our receivers on third down. You know, you just know that now you're leaning on your teammate to go make a play.
And that doesn't mean you can't, you know, you can't still make a play when you have a couple guys blocking you, but that's a little bit more of a challenge, and I think he understands that.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Hope of 11 Warriors.
Ryan, just want to ask you about Garrett Wilson and his performance yesterday. Obviously, had the big plays on offense, but also had the miscue on the punt return. How do you handle that going forward with Garrett, since he's had a couple of those issues with fielding punts?
Yeah, he's had two of them here in the last four games, and I guess last three games. So we'll just do a better job of practice, and he's got tremendous hands and you know, great ball skills and depth perception, and so we'll just keep working with him. But you know, we have to make sure that, you know, he does. He understands. It's not like he's trying to put the ball on the ground. We'll just keep working with him on his hands and his eyes and making sure that he's locked in to looking that thing all the way in. You know, the wind was a little gusty yesterday up there, and I think that happened. And so the more and more he's back there in those situations, you know, I think every punt he's back there for and catches is an investment. And I think that's a very good investment with him because he has such a high ceiling back there.
And you were asked about Sean Wade before. Damon Arnette also left the game early yesterday. Do you expect him to be ready to go this week?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see as the week goes on. You know, these guys haven't got in here today a bunch. You know, we'll have the team meeting at 2:30 and probably have a better idea as the week goes on. But it's good to get those guys back in here and get a chance to heal up for the week.
Thanks, Ryan.
Your next question comes from the line of Leo Haggerty of Big Sports Magazine.
Coach.
Hey, bud.
Coach, what's the one thing on offense and defense you have to be successful with to beat Wisconsin?
It's not just one thing. There's a lot of things. You know, if I said just take care of the ball or just tackle, there's more things that go into that. You know, so it's all the things that we've been working on all season. You know, but we talk about being tough. And the tougher team typically wins the game. And so, you know, that'll be the – nothing will change this week in terms of our preparation.
Coach, last question. Thank you for your time today. Mother Nature is not going to be a factor. Is that to your advantage or Wisconsin's advantage?
You know, both teams have to play in any kind of weather or any type of conditions that are there. I will say that I'm happy that we are playing indoors. And not in, you know, rain or cold or anything like that. Like it's been, it feels like the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I guess in the Wisconsin game, it was rain. Maryland, Rutgers, Penn State, and team up north were all cold games. So it'll be fun to play indoors a little bit.
Good luck this weekend, Coach.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, to ask the coach a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Nathan Baird of Cleveland.com.
Sort of following up on that, do you feel like playing indoors, playing on that kind of surface can be any kind of an advantage for the speed that you guys have both on either side of the ball?
I don't think it's an advantage for either teams, you know, whether it's raining, whether it's cold, whether it's windy, whether it's indoors, because both teams have to play with it. So it's the same for both sides. And so, you know, like we said, and when we played these guys the first time in the rain, hey, both teams have to deal with it. We have to be better than they are at handling it, and then you move on. So, again, I don't think it's an advantage to either side.
Your next question comes from the line of Spencer Holbrook of Letterman Row.
Hey, Ryan. In the first half, it seemed like Shea Patterson kind of had some things going with the passing game for Michigan, and then you guys lost Damon there for a little while, and your defense kind of tightened up a little bit. How impressed and encouraged were you to see your secondary tighten up, even with a couple guys missing?
I thought it was unbelievable. You know, I thought the adjustments that were made at halftime, and nobody panicked, even though they hit some plays on us, some plays, you know, very well designed. You know, they had a year to prepare for us. But then the adjustments that were made at halftime by our defensive staff and the communication by Jeff Hafley to the secondary, Al with the linebackers, and Larry with the guys up front. And I just thought it was really well done. And we did the right thing. We got the right guys in the right position. And then in the second half, I thought we played excellent.
Do you think that you would attribute that to a little bit to being able to pin your ears back and get a little bit more of a pass rush, knowing that you had the lead in the second half?
You know, I don't know. I think that certainly the rush started to really show up in the second half. And it always helps when, you know, a team gets one-dimensional.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Tim May of thelettermanrow.com.
Hi, Ryan. I had to hang up and redial. Hope you haven't been asked this yet. But what has been the biggest difference you've seen in J.K. Dobbins, who right now has the sixth best rushing season in Ohio State history? Is that a little bit astounding to you, and maybe not? But what is just the biggest single thing you've seen from him over the last several weeks, especially with a championship on the line?
I've just seen a look in his eye that, you know, he's hungry, and, you know, he's just very, very determined to be great. But I think it's a combination of he and the offensive line and the tight ends and their approach. You know, I think that they're all in that together. You know, I think J.K. would tell you that he's running really hard, really good, but he's nothing without that offensive line. And the offensive line is blocking at a high level, but they're nothing without J.K. You know, I think that they go hand in hand together. And there's a chemistry right there. There's a feel for where the cuts are, and it's working right now. And those guys are playing at a high level, and they're doing a great job.
Yeah, he has seemed to be quite unimpressed with himself so far. But past that, you know, having been in the NFL before, you know, you and Halfley also, y'all have faced same opponents twice in a year, you know, three or four of those guys. But what is sort of the key here? Is it like sort of divorce yourself from preconceived notions about them before or building on those things? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I think you know, there's certain things that you tried the first time around that worked. There's certain things that didn't work, and you have to project the best you can on, you know, what those things are, the adjustments they're going to make, and what puts your guys in best position to be successful. You know, you do the best you can that way without completely changing everything, because then that, you know, you're doing things that the guys aren't comfortable with. So, you know, you got to try to project a little bit, but also play within the confines of what the guys know.
Is it slightly uncomfortable playing a team a second time, or is it what it is?
I think it kind of is what it is. You know, I think if this game was played 2 weeks ago, it'd be a little bit more uncomfortable.
You know,
it was October 26th, and, you know, since then there's been, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. So, I mean, that's enough of a separation there that, you know, I think we're kind of different teams at this point.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yep.
Your next question goes to the line of Lori Schmidt of 610 WTVN.
I'm just curious. Your team has such versatility. How much easier does that make it for you to make adjustments, both within game and in a situation like this where you're facing an opponent a second time?
I think it's really important. And I think that our guys, you know, are very intelligent and mature and can handle those adjustments, which is a big part of our team. Maybe people don't talk about a lot, you know. And – you know, there's a part of me that doesn't think that our guys, you know, get enough credit for what they've done this year. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about how much talent we have, but this is the same team that, you know, people, you know, rank to be low on our side of the Big East. I mean, the East part of the Big Ten. And, you know, the same team that, everyone thought the defense wasn't very good. We had no offensive line, and we had a quarterback who was unproven at the beginning of the season. And, you know, I think these kids deserve credit for what they've done. And one of the things, like you're saying, is their ability to make in-game adjustments, whether it's a second quarter, halftime, whatever that is. And that shows the maturity of a team. And, you know, nothing but unbelievable credit for what they've done to be able to make those adjustments in-game. Because, you know, a lot of it is just talent, a lot of it is just skill, but so much of it is in-game and being able to adjust on the move. And these guys are as good as anybody.
Is there any other area, Ryan, where you'd particularly like to see your team get credit that maybe you feel that you've been underrated prior to now?
I just think that, you know, when you look at the body of work of 12-game season, these kids have battled week in and week out. And, you know, I just think that, you know, the way that the season played out, you know, back-to-back weeks of playing, you know, team up north in Penn State, finishing the season off that way and now headed into the Big Ten Championship. You know, you get three guys who I think should be in New York City And maybe they don't have the stats as some of the other people, but that's not their fault. You know, we've gotten some lopsided games, and they maybe don't have the number of reps as some of the other guys in, throughout the country. And, you know, I just think that they deserve that credit. I think our defense deserves a lot of credit for what they've done this year, and certainly just our team in general and our leaders for what they've done to this point. We certainly have a lot of football ahead of us, but you talk about guys coming together in leadership and a special team, you know, I think we've got one here.
Thank you, Coach.
Your next question comes from the line of Colton Bartholomew, Wisconsin State Journal.
Hi, Ryan. You actually just kind of mentioned this in the last answer, but I want to ask you about your offensive line. Obviously, when you've got an offense that's putting up as many points and yards as you guys are, it starts up front there. What do you think their biggest maybe progression through the season or improvement throughout the season has been?
With the offensive line?
Yes.
Yeah, I just think that those guys have stepped up in a big way. I think those three inside guys are the best in the country. Josh Myers, Wyatt Davis, Jonah Jackson, and then, you know, the way Thayer and Brandon Bowen are playing, you know, and the communication they have and what Coach Studd has done with those guys. I just think that they're, you know, mature beyond their age. I think the communication is really good, and they're really tough and strong and powerful inside.
Thank you.
Your next question comes line of Steve Howlegan of 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, Coach. At the beginning, they mentioned how Ohio State's playing for its 38th Big Ten championship. Just your thought, just as the caretaker now of that tradition, what that would mean to be able to add to it in that regard. And secondly, it's been rare for anybody to win this in their first year. I think Earl Bruce might be the last one at Ohio State that did it in his first year as the Ohio State coach. Coach Meyer won the division, but, you know, they weren't able to go. Just your thought on those two things going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's been our goal from the get-go. And to, you know, do that in our first season as a staff here together would be unbelievable. You know, we're trying to take it week to week and then not trying to get overwhelmed with all that. But would it be a big deal? It'd be a huge deal. And especially where people had us picked early in the season, you know, and people's perception of who we were. And again, a lot of people say we have a lot of talent. Well, it's the same talent we had before the season, before anyone had seen us come together and play this season. And here we are at this point, 12-0. And I think it just goes to show you what this team's all about and how special of a group it is and what's been done here by the leaders of this team and the coaching staff and everybody involved. So, you know, it would be huge to go and win this game and go 13-0.
Thank you.
Again, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Are we about finished there? It's about 2:30.
And your final question comes from Bill Rabinowitz of the Columbus Dispatch.
Yes, Ryan, was there any question about Justin Fields' status this week? He said that he had hurt the knee last week against Penn State.
No, you know, he's dealing with that one issue there, but he's going to get rehab this week and he'll be fine.
Okay. And one quick question about Pete Warner. He's one of those guys on defense that's markedly better this year than he was last year. What has stood out to you about him this year?
Just his overall versatility and what he can do. You know, he covers tight ends. He plays in a run game. He can do so many different things. And he gives our defense such versatility because he has such a unique skill set.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Good luck in the game.
Thank you.